We come to Daniel chapter 4, verse 28 to verse 37. As has been mentioned, we are looking into various passages of the Bible in the Old Testament, which points us to Jesus Christ as the way of salvation. And in this passage of Daniel chapter 4, verse 28 to verse 37, we have the message of a painful lesson. Now Nebuchadnezzar learned a lesson, a very painful way, and it did him eternal good. And it is a fact that lessons of life are often learned the painful way. But some learned a lesson more painfully than others. And if only you would save yourself the pain of having to learn some lessons, you would be a happy man indeed. We can avoid learning certain lessons the painful way if we would examine the lives of others. And this is where we can learn from Nebuchadnezzar. And we say that he learned a painful way, and you would discover that it was painful indeed for him. And we want to avoid such pain to us ourselves. We want to learn it the quick way without having to undergo unnecessary or undue pain. Now, what is that lesson that Nebuchadnezzar learned? How did he learn it? So these are questions that are relevant to us. But before that, we must consider a little bit of the background. So let us look at the background to this passage. Who was this Nebuchadnezzar? He was a mighty emperor who lived about 600 years before the time of Jesus Christ. Nebuchadnezzar rose to power and began conquering the surrounding nations. And he finally came to the nation of Judah. The Jewish nation had split into two, and the northern nation of Ephraim had already been taken away by the Assyrians. Only the southern nation of Judah was left. And now it was Babylon that was in power. And Nebuchadnezzar led his army against Judah in the year 605 BC. He attacked, and he took away the first batch of Jews to Babylon to settle there. Among those who were brought there in that first batch was Daniel, who wrote this book which we are studying. Now, not long after, he attacked Jerusalem again and took away a second batch. And during that second batch, Ezekiel the prophet was taken away. And Jerusalem rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar came in a rage, and in the year 586 BC, he completely destroyed Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar was such a man. He had the ambition of having a big empire, so he conquered many nations. And once he conquered those nations, he wanted those nations to submit to him. And he wanted to provide peace throughout his empire. So he built up an administrative system in which many people from the subdued nations were trained up to rule. So Daniel was one of those. He was from Judah. Judah had been conquered, and Daniel was one of those trained up to be the administrators. So in that way, the nation was able to be preserved in peace in this way. See? And the empire has expanded. Nebuchadnezzar also ensured that the economy expanded. There was trade and people grew prosperous. And then he also built up the infrastructure of the empire. Bridges and buildings were constructed. And there were many beautiful cities that he built. And of course the capital, Babylon, was his pride. And indeed, Nebuchadnezzar was a very proud man. He was very proud. He was proud of his achievement. And God dealt with him in his pride. Although he was not a prophet, God dealt with him in some very peculiar ways. He was once given a dream, which was interpreted by Daniel. God gave the wisdom to Daniel to show to Nebuchadnezzar, the emperor, that there would be succeeding empires. empire would come and empire would fall. But God's kingdom will last forever. So there was that prophecy concerning the coming of the kingdom of God, connected with the coming of the Savior, whom we know to be Jesus Christ. Then, on another occasion, Nebuchadnezzar was given another dream. And this time, he saw a tree growing, and it grew very well. It grew very big, branches began to grow, and leaves grew. And soon the tree was the shelter for many birds. And in his dream, Nebuchadnezzar saw an angel who came and commanded that tree to be chopped down. Now, today, there is a lot of concern about trees being chopped down. For too long, people have not paid attention to the importance of trees, resulting in climate changes, flooding, and various other natural disasters. And so now, trees are being preserved. And yet we have people who have the heart to want to chop down each old trees. In this nation, we have those trees, those beautiful over 100-year-old trees being chopped down in Taiping. And recently, on the island of Penang, a very old tree was chopped down and people began to cut the trunk out into art pieces. Now, with the consciousness that trees are so important, we value trees. And when we see a grand old tree growing healthy and well, our hearts are lifted up. It provides shade and gives a certain beauty to the landscape. And here in this vision, in this dream, our focus is upon this tree that has grown up. And so when the angel came and commanded that the tree be chopped down, our hearts sing. And so the tree was chopped down and leaving only the stump. And amazingly, a metal band is tied around the stump and squeezed the stump. And then the dew came, and then the next morning you see the stump is all wet with the dew. Then cattle were seen grazing around the stump. And Daniel was summoned to interpret this dream to Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel correctly gave the understanding of this dream. He explained to Nebuchadnezzar that that tree represented his kingdom. That tree represented him. See? That tree was going to be chopped down at the height of its beauty. And this is to show that Nebuchadnezzar was going to be brought low at the height of his pride, at the height of his glory. And the stump was left to show that Nebuchadnezzar would not be totally destroyed. God has still not finished with him yet. And he's tied with a band to show that his liberty is going to be severely curtailed. He's going to have no liberty. He's going to be constrained by the power of God. And he's going to be turned into an animal. He's going to behave like an animal. And he's going to be driven out to the open to eat grass. And he will be there for a fixed period of time until 7 times pass by. And 7 is the symbol of God's perfection. It is to show that it will begin at God's timing and it will end at God's timing. It is certain, a definite period of time. It cannot be reduced, it cannot be extended. It is God's will that it happens. Okay. Now that was what was told to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, 1 whole year passed by, and Nebuchadnezzar soon forgot about the dream. And then, everything that was foretold in that dream came to take place. Now, what was the experience of Nebuchadnezzar? What was the lesson that was meant to be learned by him and by us all? You see, in chapter 4, verse 17, we are told what that lesson was to Nebuchadnezzar and what it is to us today. In verse 17, we are told, this decision is by the decree of the watchers, that means the angels, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will, and he sets over it the lowest of men. Now, put it in other words, God wants us to know that he is sovereign. He is king over everyone on this earth. He is all-powerful and rules over everyone. And man is as nothing to him. It is he who puts men in power. It is he who gives men whatever he has or makes them what they are. So this is the lesson that the whole world must learn, with implications, of course. So when we learn that chief lesson, other lessons will follow. So that is the lesson for us. That was the lesson learned by Nebuchadnezzar, which we hope we will learn without the pain that Nebuchadnezzar had to go through. So having looked at the background, let us move to the second part to consider the process by which Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson. Now there are 3 points to note. Firstly, he was humble at the height of his pride. Nebuchadnezzar was a proud man, but his pride gathered momentum and soon he became really full and he became very proud indeed. And that was when God struck. We are told in verse 28 of chapter 4, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? Now Nebuchadnezzar spoke like that Pharisee in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Remember, the tax collector was stricken over his sin and he stayed at the back of the place of worship. He did not even dare to walk to the front, and he did not look up, and he was pounding his breast and confessing his sin before God. That was good. He was humble before God because of his sin. But there was the Pharisee who went right to the front of the place of worship and he began to cast his eyes back at the tax collector, and he began to pray to God and say, God, look at me, I am not like that man, you know, who is such a sinner. I am this, I am that, you know. And you see, if you count the number of times he say I, you know, it totals 5 times. And that has led people to say he was a five-eyed monster. And that is to show that human beings have that propensity to be proud. Now often we try to use words that are simple to convey across spiritual truths. But sometimes you cannot go any simpler because there is no better word to describe what we want to describe. We say that human beings have that propensity to become proud, to be proud. The word propensity involves the idea that there is that inclination. You are inclined to that direction. It includes the idea that there is a certain drive towards that direction. It shows that there is a certain desire on our part to become proud. You put all these ideas together, you discover that that word propensity best described our situation. In us, there is that great tendency driving us towards the direction of pride. And left to ourselves, we would always gather momentum in the direction of pride. And it leads to our destruction. Consider the history of the human race. When God gave men opportunities to learn and to build and to live, you know what happened? Before too long, they have accumulated all this knowledge of scientific advancement, of architecture, of building and construction. And so they challenged God. They began to build a high tower up to the heavens. Now what was wrong was not their achievement. What was wrong was not their knowledge. What was wrong was their pride.
They built that high tower as high as they possibly could, being proud of their ability. And they no longer thought of their God. They began to think that God was just an idea. If ever there is God, God, show yourself. We want proof that we are capable. And they built that tower to the heavens. And God came down and dispersed them. That was the incident of the Tower of Babel. And look at the human race up to today. We keep repeating that mistake. And today we are in a similar cycle of such pride. There is scientific advance. Man has gone to the moon. Man is walking in outer space. People are now paying for a trip to outer space. See? And we have computers and all the technology. And you discover that we are going big and far. And we are going near and small. And now we have the microchips. And it's getting smaller and smaller. And we have now nanotechnology. We are coming to a billionth of the smallness into the atom. Harnessing all this power to scientific advancement. And we begin to think that there are more and more things coming good for us. And we begin to have the idea that there is nothing to stop us anymore. We are capable of doing anything. All problems can be solved sooner or later. And it is that sense of pride, of self-sufficiency, of our mastery over our own destiny. We think we are the master of our own destiny. And that is the problem. Now we begin to think that there is no need for God. We really can control everything and solve every problem. And look at us at the individual level. On the individual level, we are self-centered and self-sufficient. Often it is that we are told to stand on our own feet, don't rely on others. Now that is right in its proper place. There are those who are always reliant upon others, dependent upon others, not lifting a finger to better themselves. So they need to be told to be self-sufficient, self-reliant. But the problem is, when we shout self-reliance too loudly, people get the wrong message. People begin to think that, oh, we are so smart, we can do it ourselves. There's no need for help by anyone, and we can just do it. And we become selfish, and also we become self-righteous. And from the spiritual point of view, we begin to think that there is no need for God. We are in control of our life, and we can do it. And everything to us is bully, no? And we become proud. And that arrogance is begin to be seen everywhere. And that is not good for us. You have to be very careful. We have that propensity to become proud. And that was Nebuchadnezzar's problem. He became so proud that day when he was on top of his palace and looking down over the city of Babylon, he began to admire Babylon. Then he began to admire his own abilities. Then he began to admire himself. And that was his pride. It probably was during night time. Probably it was in the cool of the evening. Probably he was in a relaxed mood. And when he saw all the lights glittering everywhere all over Babylon and the beauty of that city, which symbolized his power and glory, he began to admire not just the city but his own ability. And he began to admire not just his ability, he began to admire himself. And you see that he began to talk like that Pharisee in the parable of the Lord. Look at verse 30. The king spoke saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" You see how self-centered he was, and self-righteous and proud he was. This man was at the height of his pride when God struck him down. A voice was heard, and Nebuchadnezzar heard it clearly, and the voice mentioned that it was directed at him, and that what was going to happen was by God's will. And Nebuchadnezzar could not pretend to say, "Who are you? Where are you speaking from? And who are you speaking to?" He could not ask such questions because the words were so clear and directly spoken to him. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." So not only did Nebuchadnezzar know that it was directed at him, he knew that it was going to happen to him exactly as has been told him by Daniel in the interpretation of the dream. And Nebuchadnezzar came to realize that it was because he was proud, because he was leaving God out of the picture, because he was thinking himself so clever, so smart, so much in control of his own destiny. It was at that point that God came and struck him down. Learn this lesson. Nebuchadnezzar was humble at the height of his pride. Don't wait till that propensity to pride builds up, and the higher you go, the greater will be your fall. The more painful will be your fall. That's why some people learned it the very hard way. Now, the second lesson is, he received grace at his lowest point, verse 33 to verse 34. You see now that with some people, they simply would not learn until they are brought low. And in fact, the harder your heart is, the harder a knock is needed in order to break you. And you cannot win over God. If God is really God, one mighty blow from him will definitely break you to pieces. And how hard do you want that blow to be? The harder you are, the harder the blow. The more painful you will sense it. And that is the problem with many of us. Some of us are too rebellious, too proud. See, we think too highly of ourselves. And often it is that we resist what we know to be true. We stubbornly want to do things our own way. And there are others who know the truth, and their conscience speak against them doing things that are wrong. And yet they went ahead, contrary to their conscience. And although others may not know it, but you know it, and you know that God knows it, and sooner or later, God's hand will come down heavy upon you. And it may be in connection with your career. It may be in connection with your studies. It may be in connection with your relationships. When you become proud, God brings you low. And the part where you are going to feel it hardest and most painful will be the part where you are proudest about. And that was what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. You see now, we are not saying that all who suffer are sinful people. We are not saying that they are suffering for their sins. Don't draw the wrong conclusion that the greatest sufferers are the greatest sinners. Sometimes, very godly people suffer tremendously. We can't understand why. It is God's will, and it will work out for their good in the end, and to the glory of God. And often it is the world do not see this. They do not know that it is God's will, and for his own glory, to the good of his people. So what we want to take note of is that some very godly people suffer very much. And it is not always the case that those who suffer severely are those who are most sinful. But the fact still remains that God deals with those who are proud, and God often deals with them in that place of pride. At the point where you are proudest, that will be the point where you are struck hardest. Now you consider the case of Nebuchadnezzar. It was a painful fall for him. You see, he was a mighty emperor, controlling such a vast empire. And to be able to conquer so many nations required that he had a powerful army. And that powerful army has to be equipped. It means that you have to be rich and you have to equip them with the right weapons. And then that army has to be trained. And that army has to obey your orders. And in order to conquer, you have to be a good strategist. You don't just simply send a big army to be slaughtered by others. So when you are able to conquer many nations, people admire you because you are rich, you're capable, and you are wise. You are really powerful. And not only did Nebuchadnezzar excel on the military front, remember on the economic and social front, then on the front of building up the empire and the cities. Now, to have all the great brains coming together, to have people trained without them rebelling against him, to be able to harness them to the building up of the empire, to draw out the best of these people so that they work together towards the building up of his empire. Now, all this was attributed to Nebuchadnezzar. He was proud of his success. Everyone admired him. And because he was proud at that point, that was the point that hurt him most. And imagine him falling with a big, great fall. We say the durian falls now with a big tut, you see. And sometimes it bursts open, you see. And here Nebuchadnezzar falls. He falls hard. And you can imagine how he felt at that time, you see. God gave him sufficient of his understanding to know what was happening to him. But he lost all his reasoning power. And even though desires were in him, he was restrained. There was this strange power that came over him. When people gave him food, rice, potatoes, bread, meat, fish, vegetables, he just refused to eat them. He had no appetite for them. Instead, he saw the grass outside. Somehow there is that craving for the grass, and he kept running out to eat the grass. And instead of walking on his legs, he went on all four. And people must have tried to make him sit up, but he just kept wanting to go on all four and crawl out on all four to the outside to eat the grass. Something very strange was happening to him, and he couldn't help himself. I remember all this while sufficient understanding was given to him to make him realize that he was under the punishment of God. And yet he could not help himself. It's almost like a person growing old and he wants to do a lot of things which he now cannot do. It is almost like a man who has grown so old that he's now in his wheelchair. And one day a small boy kicked the ball towards him, and forgetting himself, he tried to get up to kick the ball back. And he topples and falls. He hurts himself. And he feels very upset. See, he forgets that there is that desire in him to want to kick the ball, but he's now too old. His body is too rusty to want to obey what his heart desires. And Nebuchadnezzar was in such a frustrated situation. He was in a situation where he understood enough, and yet he could not have that power to carry out what he wanted. And instead there was that strange force that drove him to enjoy eating the grass, eat the grass like the animals. And he just wanted to lie down outside and sleep with the animals. And the rain and the sun came upon him. And you can imagine his skin began to change and the hair began to grow. And when he tried to speak, instead of words coming out, he began to moan like the cows. And people found this strange man, he has gone crazy. They had to leave him out there according to what appeared to be his desire. So he had to sleep with the cows. And as his hair grew, it became matted together, and very soon you discover it's like the feathers of an eagle. And his fingernails grew and curved around and became like claws. And this man was behaving really like an animal. And just think, sufficient understanding was given to him to constitute a punishment from God. And as he looked at the palace people, they were all shaking heads at him in pity. And he wanted to say in his heart, "I don't want your pity." But he couldn't say anything. Only mooing sounds came out. And then you can imagine that he was once such a dignified king. But now he was, you know, dirtying himself like animals out there. And you imagine even the ladies cooking in the kitchen, you see, look at him, couldn't control themselves from giggling, you see. And Nebuchadnezzar had to bear up with all this. And imagine the empire all knew that something strange had happened to this man. And fear came upon them, but at the same time they couldn't help seeing that all this was so amusing. Imagine the newspapers of those days, if they used newspapers at all. The cartoons being drawn of this man, reduced to an animal. And all this must have hurt his pride so much. A once mighty, glorious man, admired and feared by all, was reduced to just behaving like an animal. Oh, it was a very big fall for Nebuchadnezzar. It must hurt him. It must have hurt him very badly. And this is what we have to learn. You know that we will all have to face with God's judgment. And if we are not dealt with by God in this life, we certainly will be dealt with by Him on the last day. And when the last day comes, there is simply no more chance to change things around. And the punishment will be exactly what we deserve. And in a sense, it is a good thing that God deals with us while in this life. But we don't want to learn it the very hard way. It's going to be very painful. At the point of your greatest fright, that will be the point where you are going to feel it most. And let us learn from this. We do not want to be brought low in such a painful way. But look at Nebuchadnezzar. It was necessary for him to be brought low. Otherwise, he would never look up to God. Otherwise, he kept thinking that he was capable of dealing with his own problems. Are you like that? You're faced with problems, and you still stubbornly believe that you can do it by your own strength, by your own cleverness. In some ways, you will find the solution. And you still are not humbled. And that is where God wants to deal with you. You must be very careful, because God can give you grace only when you are at your lowest. If only you would humble yourself, you will not receive God's blessing at all. And look at Nebuchadnezzar. In verse 34 we are told, "And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me." He lifted up his eyes. Before, he never lifted up his eyes. He was always looking down at others. Of course, we are not speaking literally. What we meant is that his pride was such that he became so lifted up. He was on the throne all the time. He was all the time thinking he was the most powerful man, and everybody must kowtow to him. Everybody must bow to him. You see? This man was very proud, but now he was brought so low. And when you have brought to the lowest point, you can't go any lower. And at the lowest point, you can't look any lower, because you are already lowest. And in fact, when you want to look sideways, you can't see even. You can't see far. Yeah, the higher you are, the further you can see sideways. You can see the horizon in the distance. But when you are at the lowest point, you can't see. You can't see. You can't see down, you can't see sideways, and there is only one direction left for you to see, and that is upwards. And that was what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. At his lowest point, he looked up to God. And it was then that God dealt mercifully with him. God gave back his understanding. God restored him. You see, now that we have to learn that if we are proud, God will bring us low. If we resist, we will learn it the hard way. Let us learn without having to face the pain of it all. Let us humble ourselves quickly before God. that we may receive grace from Him. And thirdly, you see the process of His learning. He understood truth which transformed Him, verse 35 to verse 37. Note the emphasis on the understanding of truth. In verse 34, we are told that I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. Look at verse 36. At the same time, my reason returned to me. Now it is God's will that the mind be the channel of His blessing to us. You cannot switch off your mind if you want blessing from God. That's why Christians who are influenced by the wrong teaching that's so prevalent today, they are missing out on God's blessing. They go to churches where people tell them, you know, switch off your mind, just say whatever comes out of your mouth. And they thought that that will be the way to receive blessing. But that's not the way. And in their worship style where, you know, they are meant to just ignore doctrine, ignore thinking, ignore truth. They think that God's blessing will come to them. But actually, they are badly mistaken. It is God's ordained way that His blessing comes to us through the understanding. Our understanding must receive truth. The truth must be understood. Then God's blessing will come. And Nebuchadnezzar's case shows this very emphatically, that the understanding is so important. And what are some of the truths that led Nebuchadnezzar to being blessed? You see now that the Bible teaches many truths, and there will be no end to studying those truths. We can talk about the eternal covenant of God. We can talk about the future coming of Christ. We can talk about the unusual providences of God. We can talk about so many things. But what people need to hear most are those truths that bring them to salvation in Jesus Christ. Put in other words, they need to hear the gospel. Those truths which are summarized as Christ and Him crucified. They must hear Christ and Him crucified. And there are those truths that directly bear on the message of salvation. And Nebuchadnezzar understood, he heard and understood those truths that day. Now what are some of these truths? We can summarize them like that, like this. Firstly, he understood the greatness of God. In verse 34, he came to realize, he said, and I bless the Most High and praise and honor Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, as His kingdom is from generation to generation. God is great. He is the eternally existing God. He has no beginning, He has no end. He is the one who is all-powerful. And He is good. That's why he needs to be blessed and praised. And that's why towards the end of verse 30, in verse 37, he says, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven. Why? All of whose works are truth and His ways justice. He's a God of truth. He's a God of justice. This is the God who has revealed Himself to us as our Creator. He is a powerful God who is good. The greatness of God must be recognized. Then secondly, Nebuchadnezzar learned of the smallness of man. Look at verse 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? So what Nebuchadnezzar learned was that in contrast to the greatness of God, man is so small. Man is weak. Man is dependent on God. Man has to answer to God. God does not have to answer to anyone. We are the one who have to answer to Him. We are so small in the sight of the great God. Then the third thing, the third truth that he learned was man's need of God's grace, without which there is no restoration of our relationship to Him, and without which there is no more additional blessing. Look at verse 36. We are told in verse 36, he says, at the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselor and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom. So you see now, he was restored to his former position of glory, where everybody respected him and sought him for counsel. And then we are told further, an excellent majesty was added to me. So you see now, not only was he restored to his former position of greatness, but further glory was given to him. It shows to us that when God blesses, he really blesses us abundantly. We need God's grace. If God does not show his mercy on undeserving people like us, none of us will be saved and none of us will receive the abundant blessing which he has promised. You see now, God has to show his grace to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. The fourth lesson he learned was that worship and service should be rendered to God spontaneously for all those who have come to know the true God. That was what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He couldn't quite help himself but praise God and desire to live for him. We have already looked at verse 34 towards the end. It says towards the middle there, it says, and I bless the Most High and praise and honor him who lives forever. See? Then in verse 37 we are told, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven. See? So this is what happens to a person who is converted. He wants to live the rest of his life for his God. He wants to serve him and praise him. He wants to live in such a way as to bring honor to him. So these then are the four truths that at least must be understood, must be appreciated if we were to be saved. Nebuchadnezzar understood this truth which transformed him. Therefore, you must strive to know truth. Don't switch off your mind. Don't go to churches where you are told to enjoy yourself, where you are dancing and clapping with all the beautiful sentimental music, or all the hard rock pounding in your ears. Now be very careful never to allow your mind to be obscured, the truth to be obscured. Don't allow your mind to be drowned by noise or by sentiments. Always focus on the truth. Seek to know more of God's truth. And certainly seek to know those saving truths that will lead you to faith in Jesus Christ. So we have learned of the process by which Nebuchadnezzar learned that great lesson. Firstly, he was humble at the height of his pride. Secondly, he received grace at the lowest point of his life. Thirdly, he understood truth which transformed his life. Now, we move on to the last section. What is the lesson that we need to learn today? Now remember, this incident happened to Nebuchadnezzar with the purpose that everyone in the world may come to recognize God as the one who is totally in control. He is the sovereign one. He is the king who deserves our worship. He is the one whom we must submit ourselves to. We have already seen that the purpose of this incident happening to Nebuchadnezzar has already been declared to us in chapter 4 verse 17. We have been told there, this decision is by the decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the holy ones. In other words, this is the desire of God in heaven. In order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. So God wants you to recognize him as the Almighty God. God wants you to submit yourselves to him and live for him. That is a great lesson we must learn. Now, are you going to learn the hard way? The difficult way? The painful way? I hope not. I hope you learn quickly and without too much pain. Now understand this, that in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, the outward visible and historical events are meant to point us to deeper spiritual truth. Let me give you some examples. When the Hebrews were brought out from Egypt to travel in the wilderness heading for the promised land, led by Moses, their wilderness wandering is supposed to show to us our spiritual lostness in this life. Then when the Hebrews finally settle in Canaan, it is supposed to point us to the spiritual rest that we can find in Christ. This is taught in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4 of the Bible. Then another example is this. The offering up of animal sacrifices in the Old Testament was meant to point us to Jesus Christ, who would lay down his life as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. All the cleansing ceremonies of the Old Testament was meant to point us to the need for cleansing in our hearts through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if you can grasp this point, then we can come to see how Nebuchadnezzar's lesson applies to us. Nebuchadnezzar's salvation points us to the possibility of our salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nebuchadnezzar's exaltation by God points us to the spiritual exaltation in Christ. Honor was added to Nebuchadnezzar, pointing us to the great spiritual blessing God has promised to all who come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, many passages of the Bible confirms this understanding of salvation. And it is impossible for us to refer to all of them at this time. But we must look at least one of them. And I refer you to Ephesians chapter 2 in the New Testament. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 in the New Testament. And listen to what it says in chapter 2, verse 4 to verse 6. We are told there in Ephesians 2, verse 4 to verse 6, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." You see now what is being said there? That God desires to bless us with further spiritual blessings in the same way that Nebuchadnezzar was restored to his former position of glory, and over on top of that, greater majesty was added to him. God desires us to restore us to good standing with him through faith in Christ, and he wants to further give us the rich blessings through faith in Christ. And you see now that these blessings are lost to you if you do not come to faith in Christ. And not only that, you are not reconciled to God whom you have offended. And you can only await God's judgment. And remember, when God's judgment comes on the last day, it is going to be heavy, painful, and irreversible. Whereas when God chastises us, when God punishes us in this life, it may be painful, but if we learn quickly, we will save ourselves additional pain. And it will be to our eternal good if we have learned the lesson. Oh friends, some of you suffer much. God brings you low. You have shed much tears. Perhaps the pain is still upon you. You are never likely going to forget what you have gone through. But if you have learned the right lesson, it is to your eternal good. It is in order to humble you and to come and acknowledge God and to submit your life to him, be reconciled to him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, not only peace comes to you, but you begin to experience the blessing of God which is promised to us in Jesus Christ. And while in this life, he began to experience more and more of the riches of what has been promised in Christ. And it makes our heart look forward to that day when we will all be gathered in heaven, when all the riches of the abundance of blessing in Christ will be ours. There we will enjoy all those abundant blessings that has been promised us. Oh, friends, certainly there's so much more waiting for us. And that is the experience of Christians as they grow in the faith, as they walk by faith in Jesus Christ. So then, in closing, let us learn this great lesson of the need to humble ourselves before the Almighty God, to come and be reconciled to Him through His Son Jesus Christ, and come to enjoy the spiritual blessing He has promised to us in Christ. Are you going to come humbly and receive this blessing through faith in Christ? Or are you going to rebel and resist and allow God to chastise you painfully until you submit? Now, those who are safe in Christ, they come willingly to Him. They come and voluntarily praise Him. And again, let us look at one passage and consider what it is like for a person who has come to faith in Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 20 and verse 21. See the description of the Apostle Paul of a person who has come to faith in Christ. He says in verse 20, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." You see, Paul is full of praise to God in Christ. He lives for Him. And he spontaneously worships God with praises like this. And does this not remind us of the words of Nebuchadnezzar when he was converted? Remember in Nebuchadnezzar chapter 4, verse 37. "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down." You see now that a person who has come to faith in Jesus Christ, he spontaneously, he willingly gives his life to serve Christ and to praise Him. And may this be your experience today. Let today be the day when the truths of God transform you. Come to Jesus Christ. Trust in Him today. Turn from your sinful way of life and trust in Christ to find rest in Him.